great man came and he took away lands that were loved from the very first days. Well, they dirtied our air and they spoiled the grass. Now it's up to those who care to get it back. Yeah, to where we can't breathe, to where we can't see. Yeah, to know what it's like. Yeah, what it's like to really be free. Oh yeah, to know what it's like to really be free.
This is Fight Back with Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
And we've got Connie Harris in the studio who's about to occupy something this week, and she's going to tell us about it. I'm here, of course, with my cohort and co-conspirator occasionally, Connie Goodell Newton. She doesn't always co-conspirator type stuff with me. She doesn't do that. But sometimes she does. It all
Once
depends on the strategy, right?
Yeah.
It is.
And Connie, what's up with Occupy?
Okay, I think we're bringing the rest belt down. Occupy the Rest Belt's going to have a 48-hour occupation at the Ohio State House. And it will start on the 13th at 12:01 a.m.
So Tuesday.
Yeah,
Tuesday,
this coming
Wednesday,
Tuesday.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Correct, yeah.
Now, why do you call it Occupy the Rust Belt?
Well, it's just a number of different occupied cities in that region of Ohio that, you know, they've lost a lot. You know, Youngstown is a great example of what, you know, a dead city looks like. And it's just a shame that, you know, and I think that people, we're coming together, Cleveland, Canton, you know, Ashtabula, and we're going to move along. We're
great.
Looking at job development and different kinds of
through,
things. That
through fracking?
Oh, yeah. They want to put a lot of people together on that job. But
cleaning up after the earthquakes, you know, the usual stuff.
Absolutely. And that's one of the big issues we're going to hit on Wednesday, the 14th. We're going to start a rally at about 11 o'clock. And hoping just 48 hours of nonviolent, direct action, information.
Great. So people will be coming from around the eastern side of Ohio to come occupy the State House area,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Basically, and
right.
Raise awareness on these issues. Mm-hmm. So what all issues will you be covering and talking about during this two-day event on Tuesday and Wednesday?
Well, number one, our freedom to be there without a permit. I think that that's an important statement that we're going to be making. We've got on Tuesday, we start at 7 a.m. in the morning with coffee and community conversation, and then we'll move on. We'll have an open mic available for people who want to take part in that, whether it's music, spoken word, whatever. And then on Wednesday is our big frack action day. We're calling on all our fractivists around
Great.
The state of Ohio. And that part of Ohio has done a fabulous job bringing it to the attention of the community and the city government.
Well, it's very important. And it seems like some of the activities that activists have been doing is having an effect of raising awareness and, you know, getting some restrictions put on the frackers. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great thing.
Okay, Frack Action Day. Many people have argued that the Occupy movement has been frozen because of the winter and that it's over. How do you see it?
Oh, I see springtime. I see warmer weather. I see people coming out and spending time together. You know, I think the movement will pick up. It has been a long winter. But, you know, we're looking forward to the spring. And each month, you know, I hope people can take advantage of coming down.
Yeah, you know, the Occupy movement seemed like it really got its start in the fall, was pretty active in the fall, and then over the winter, it is hard to sustain that, especially, you know, when a lot of the occupation has been a campsite in front of the State House. But we have pretty much succeeded in sustaining that effort until the present time, and now the weather's getting warmer, and frozen things do defrost in March and April. So, you know, I was very impressed when I went to some of the first Occupy GAs to see activists that I had known in Ohio and Columbus, you know, going back 10 years, and, you know, other older activists probably, you know, saw people they know going back 30 years there. And so it was just a great melting pot of people who work on a lot of different issues. And I would be very excited to see that energy kind of resurge this spring. So it sounds like this event is something that could really, you know, motivate people to get, you know, active again now that we're done with our, you know, wintertime. Harshness.
Oh yeah. It's going to be beautiful weather, by the way.
Yeah.
It will be a nice, probably a little windy, but.
All right. We've talked about this a little off the air. Vanity Fair article, other people, not critics, but people sympathetic to the movement say that the movement itself has undergone a metamorphosis and that a lot of problems were related in many ways to people that are homeless, destabilized, need mental health services, is that the very nature of the society that brought out the Occupy movement, 1% at the top, incredibly wealthy, has caused tremendous instability among former middle-class people, mm-hmm. among working-class people, and really been hard on those at the bottom of society, and that has taken up a variety of time of people with Occupy who often started out looking at the 1%, but often ended up in some ways as providing services to people that are really desperate in this society.
Right. I know one of the, I'm with Occupy Mansfield, and one of the first things that came was so clear to all of us that when we were occupying our city square, that there were a lot of people that had no place to go. They, you know, didn't have anything to eat. And, you know, it's just such a huge problem in the fact that, you know, people are thrown out there to literally fend for themselves with nothing to fend with. And I, that's always been one of my, Bob? Gosh.
Key concern?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, no, it's a huge concern. And all we can do at this point is redirect people and, you know, let them know where they can find services. But it really looks like the Occupy movement is bringing a lot to the forefront as far as single issues. I think homelessness and hunger is a huge one. Right here in Ohio, in the last 4 months, nobody knew what fracking was until, you know, it was the people who had the information, who went to the city governments and had proof, you know, had facts for them. And I think that the people have been kept in the dark, especially with the hazards of fracking.
One of the axioms is that you can't have a movement without song or music. So I was hoping you could do another song for us, one that
sure.
reflects, I don't know if you've written anything around the movement yet, mm-hmm. but something that reflects, you know, the beliefs of the Occupy movement.
I have, actually, and, you know, not exactly for the movement, but I have a number of songs that, you know, what I started out with. It's called The White Man Song. And, you know, you can't take our water away, you can't take our food, and you can't
Well, that's fracking in Monsanto, both trying
you
hard.
You got it. And we need to hit that up this week. I mean, and, you know, every day. But, you know, hopefully we'll bring some stuff to the forefront. We've got Bob Hagen coming out and Mr. Bob Fitrakis. And
he's in my top five favorite speakers.
I know he is. He's in the top.
Like number four.
Something like that. But, I think that, you know, the work that's being done, you know, right at the local level and coming right from, you know, the citizens themselves, I mean, they've done a lot of homework. And more, you know, the truth is coming out. Fracking ain't good.
Oh, yeah.
Have you done any songs on fracking yet?
No, but there is a wonderful couple up in Cleveland that did, and we'll have to find that, and next time around I'll throw that at you.
All right.
But, yeah, I don't know. You want me to sing a song,
one? Yeah, do it.
Okay, well, I'll finish the one song starting the second verse of that.
All right.
White man came, took away the lands that were loved from the very first days. Dirty the air and they spoiled our grass. Now it's up to those who care to get it back, to where we can see, to where we can breathe, to where all we can know, what it's like, what it's like to be free. What to know, what it's like to really be free. First crime came when the white man said, want all the riches, have to hand them some dead. But what they didn't know is that the darker ones saw way too much deception in the white man's law.
Now, when we look at Occupy, many people have argued that the election of Barack Obama in many ways was the death of the movement. People went out, got him elected, worked really hard, and then said, let's take a rest. And I'm not sure Barack Obama in any way can be effective against reactionary forces in the society without a massive movement forcing him to work for social justice, independent of him, one which he has no control, one that he has to deal with.
Yeah, so we can, you know, not only support him in elections and stuff, but all that energy, you know, we can push our own agenda and demand from the president, you know, the things that we want that he represent his constituency. So,
well, I think we've seen that maybe a little glimmer of light in the last 6 months. But no, I mean, he still has a lot of trust that we've got to, you know, build some more trust with him because he's, you know, a lot of just the same, you know. But I think, I think they recognize the movement. I am concerned, though, with the involvement of Homeland Security in this movement. That it goes beyond
in terms of watching the movement,
right, and instead of the at the local level
and arranging perhaps attacks on this movement,
right, yeah. I think that's one thing that I am really concerned about because it does seem to be coming. You know, the lowdown is coming from the administration, and you know we're out there
and
because
in
we can
democratic
be
democratic cities. I mean,
absolutely,
like San Francisco, places that don't have to worry about Republican so-called reactionary forces, but these crackdowns are occurring in San Francisco, New York, liberal democratic cities. Is that cause for concern?
This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
That's good.
So should we be concerned at these crackdowns in these
absolutely
so-called liberal democratic cities?
Yeah, seems yeah. like it, right?
If there's no concern, then I'm really worried. I would like to see Columbus as a city, you know, set a little bit of a precedent for, you know, possibly the state, the nation, that we, as citizens of Ohio, can lobby our state house anytime we want to, 24 hours a day if we want to. That's our house, those are our streets, and it's our sidewalk. But I'm just really concerned at the just gross, you know, brutish behavior. It's just, it's not becoming, and it doesn't look out. But they want to shut us down.
Yeah.
They're very afraid of this movement.
Well, and, you know, I mean, that maybe that's a good thing. That mm-hmm. shows that we have power, that the people have power. And, you know, also, you know, maybe some of those people in government will join us, too. I'm sure a lot of them would like to, you know, step out of their roles mm-hmm. sometimes and actually be helpful. And right. so, you know, I think it's great to get as many people down there as you possibly can. And if you have the numbers, how can they really argue with that many citizens, people who have right. been born and raised in Columbus and in Ohio, around Ohio, you know, demanding our rights to free speech and open government?
Right.
You know, they're supposed to be representing the people of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the Occupy critique is that the justice system is unfair, the war on drugs is often racist, class-based, but I don't know if you saw it, but the movement picked up a new ally to legalize marijuana.
I sure did.
Pat
Robertson, is that a gas?
I mean, yeah. Well, what do you think when that came, when he said, look, the war on drugs has failed, why don't we treat it like alcohol?
Well, maybe his children or grandchildren got caught smoking. He just wants to get it legal. You know, I think it's really interesting. I'd like to see how far that takes. And
yeah, because he's actually said this on the yeah. on his, you know, 700.
The 700 Club. You know,
who knows? Maybe
God put marijuana on this earth for a reason, right? I mean,
right,
it's not like cocaine, which is highly processed, or
hippies.
Meth. You know, meth is like highly
yeah.
processed by
in
humans.
The mouse trap.
But mm-hmm. I mean, so there's already a movement of people, you know, calling for medical marijuana, but with all the problems
but
that
pats to their left. I mean.
But yeah. but mm-hmm. you know, all the problems that alcohol and tobacco cause people, health problems, social problems, family problems, alcohol and tobacco. Mm-hmm. You know, it really doesn't seem like there's proof that marijuana causes those health problems or those family problems.
And could in some cases,
yeah, in some cases,
help
it helps cancer patients
fight certain.
And can help, you know, help
things,
people's
right.
health. So why not legalize it, not only for medical use, but for recreational use,
absolutely.
Since people are doing it anyway, for the most part, safely.
Mm-hmm.
People are using marijuana safely for recreational use and
right.
Medical use.
And just imagine.
So just open it up.
If, you know, we take some of these old factories that are sitting all over every city in America and grow some hemp, just think of the textiles that could be, we could be making American-made
sure,
everything.
Natural fibers,
absolutely.
Biodegradable, sustainable. I mean, one mm-hmm. of the things about marijuana, but particularly hemp, which you can't get high off of, is it grows like a weed.
Absolutely.
Doesn't need that much rain.
Absolutely.
And can be used for, you know, mm-hmm. literally 25,000 different uses, mm-hmm. at least back in the 1930s.
Right.
With popular science.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thomas Jefferson liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know,
the early
a lot of
presidents.
Folks that like it.
Yep.
You know, a lot more than people are willing to. Well, I think most people know it. A lot of people smoke pot.
So sometimes these breakthroughs come, but is it going to be more difficult to get a breakthrough against the 1% than eventually you lock up 800,000 people and it's costly for marijuana possession, and even right-wing evangelicals can see that as crazy and insane. But what about this 1%? Are we willing to really go after them?
Well, I sure am. I know that.
You know, poverty is an increasing problem. And, you know, with the 1% owning basically all of the wealth in the United States, it doesn't seem like there's really a problem with there being enough wealth or enough resources, right? It's the problem is who controls it, who has access to that wealth. And really, I mean, the 1% idea, I think, is, you know, creating a slave class out of the rest of us through debt, you know, imprisonment. They're warehousing human beings in prisons and, you know, forcing us all to work in the system for large corporations to pay off our debts. You know, lawyers, typically law students, graduate with $100,000 worth of debt. And I'm part of that statistic. And that really means that a lot of people are forced into working for the oppressor, even if they intended to go to law school, you know, to help people, because law is a helping profession, right? But you know, you have intentions of going into a helping profession, and then you're basically enslaved and start working for a collection agency, collecting against other low income and poor people. So I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, there does need to be some consciousness raising about the economic issues, and you know, we do need to encourage people to rise up and demand some equality and fairness in economics, because with the foreclosure crisis, the banks own the homes. They're kicking people out of
letting them rot
of homes, and there's waste. It's
homes
causing
decay,
waste.
Everything so, goes bad.
And that was the centerpiece of Mayor Coleman's speech. You're going to knock all these houses down,
right? And so that's a waste for our whole society. You know, if I'm a homeowner and I'm able to afford my home, but every other house in the neighborhood is bank owned and foreclosed, and all of my neighbors who I like because they're my neighbors, you know, are forced to move out and go be homeless somewhere. You know, that's
it's
a lot of waste.
It's not fair. Solutions have to be found, and I see real solutions coming out of this movement.
Well, that's been a criticism of the movement is that you have no solutions or no agenda. Do you disagree?
Absolutely. I know the meetings that you know, my affiliations with a number of occupied cities in Ohio has been. I mean, it's the whole gamut of our lives. I mean,
I wouldn't say there are no issues or that there are no solutions. I would say that there are so many issues that we have
that are
all interconnected,
right.
And so many, you know, people have their own kind of take on things, but there's a common thread. And I think, you know, I was a little bit confused about the Occupy movement in general at the beginning too, but economic justice is a main theme. And you know, that overlaps and intersects with race and gender and, you know, class and prison and debt and banks and the environment. You know, economic justice intersects with a lot of other issues. So I can understand why some people are confused about that. But I would say that, you know, there's a lot going on that needs our attention. And
Absolutely. There
are commonalities between all those issues.
Right. Absolutely. You got it. So, but yeah, I agree. I do think if given the time and space, I think that we can really make this a popular movement that will just keep growing. And people just need to, you know, stand up and not be so afraid to come down to the Ohio State House this Tuesday and Wednesday. Hang out with us on the street.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a lot of information, lots of music, spoken word, new people to meet and greet, and plans to make for the rest of the year.
Right. So this Tuesday and Wednesday, pretty much all day at the State House. What are the dates on that Tuesday?
That would be the 13th and the 14th.
13th and 14th. And so what... what is the lineup, or how can people get more information about it?
Okay, you can go to Occupy the Rust Belt, and the event is posted on the page.
Occupy the Rust Belt, the webpage, and there will be information there.
Right, and we'll have information down there also.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're looking forward to, you know, getting folks out and...
And how can people help out or participate? Should people bring signs or bring food?
Yeah.
Bring themselves and friends?
Signs, yeah. We will be having lunch outside. It will be a potluck. And it's togetherness. It's really more what I think the goal is here, is to get together and work as an occupied state. Eventually, you know, we'd like to have, you know, statewide GAs. And the weather's coming for
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, remember, come on, people now, smile on your brother.
Everybody, get together, because it's damn time to love one another,
yeah.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you've been to other Occupies. You said you've been to Mansfield. Anywhere else?
Yeah, yeah. Cleveland, Youngstown. When I'm in Cleveland, I check them out. And they're doing actually some very good work. They're really standing up for the folks that are losing their homes. Dayton is a great occupation. They've got it going down in Dayton, and the hope is that we'll have other regional actions here in Columbus at the State House. We still need to get that Northwest region, Southeast, Southwest, and Central. So I'm just looking forward.
Well,
yeah,
it's really great to know that there's stuff going on all over the state, even
absolutely.
In some of the smaller cities.
And that was the one thing that I think that I found, you know, actually very cool, is that, you know, this whole Occupy, it just kind of grabbed people, and it's giving us an opportunity. So I'm hoping that people can keep moving along, and, you know, we can do better work in the community than what's being done right now.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, create a way with these events, a way for people to plug in and feel like they're able to contribute and make a difference.
Right.
And
yeah, we'll have Civil Disobedience 101 on Tuesday morning.
Training.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
And it's just going to be simple. Watch us and follow, you know? It's really that simple. It doesn't mean you have to take a whole lot of risks. Just coming out, putting a sign in your hand and holding it.
Yeah.
You know, chatting with people.
And that's a big step for a lot of people.
All right.
It's just to get out there.
Well, thanks,
this
guys.
Tuesday, March 13th, and Wednesday, March 14th, be at the State House. And not only that, you get to hear Connie Harris sing. Why don't you take us out with a song?
All righty. Little Janice here.
All right.
Bus of Flat and Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed the diesel down just before it rained, rode us all the way into New Orleans. Oh, well, I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana, feeling soft, yeah, while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers just slapping time, yeah. Olden Bobby's in and mine. We sang every song that driver knew. Whoa, yeah, yeah. Freedom just another word for nothing left to lose. Lordy, no, nothing ain't nothing if it ain't free. Oh no, feeling good was easy when we sang the blues. Feeling good was good. And